This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country for the Community Matters program. And joining me today on our Community Matters program is Justin from Western New York News Now. Now, Justin, thank you for taking the time to join me today. I understand it's been an incredibly busy couple weeks with the holidays just coming through and finishing up with that. And I understand you're very incredibly busy when you look at all the different news that's happening at Western New York News Now and how you have to make sure all of it's gathered and ready for the next newscast. So, Justin, thank you for taking the time to join me today. And I understand it really does work out pretty well that we're having this discussion, because just last week or so, you guys aired a 1-hour wrap-up of the different stories that you guys have done. And so I'm kind of excited to be able to talk to you to get an idea what have been some of the top stories that have really affected this area in the last year or so. So, yeah. Justin, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Aaron. It's always great to be on the program with you and to talk about all things news. And you know, they say the news watch never stops, and I mean it seriously has been that in 2022, and already now, right, looking at some of the headlines we're seeing even locally in 2023. Things are full speed ahead. We did just put together a 2022 year in review that I hosted an hour long on our website, wnynewsnow.com, and a new Roku channel as well. It's channel 716 on any sort of streaming device. Roku, you can check it out on there. And we really go through all the big stories from across our region, from laughter filling the streets during the annual comedy festival, which really took a big center stage over the summer, to an attack on a world famous author at the Chautauqua Institution. 2022 certainly was a news year, and we had so many stories. When thinking about what I think, a lot of people ask, what do you think the biggest story of the year was? That's such a hard question to answer, because even in our special that we put together, there really isn't a top story, so to speak, because how do you weigh some of these things? For example, a lot of people might say that attack on Salman Rushdie, the author of the book, The Satanic Verses, he was allegedly attacked by a man, Hadi Matar, who's still being prosecuted. And the New Jersey resident, prosecutor said, slept overnight in tall grasses outside of the Chautauqua Institution on Route 394, just near Mayville, and then went in, got a ticket, and attended his show. And just as Mr. Rushdie walked on the stage, walked up and stabbed him along with the event moderator, Henry Reese, allegedly, of course. He's still being prosecuted. It is important to highlight that. But nevertheless, you look at this event and it's captured on video, right? I mean, how do you avoid that? Well, we expect this year we'll see his trial possibly, if not next year, because they are still going through some preliminary things and there is a gag order in place. So there's not much prosecutors can tell us about the case, except for the fact that they've received 30,000 plus pieces of evidence. So when you look back at the top stories, I just said you can't have a top story. News-wise, that one's pretty heavy, right? I mean, when CNN is camped out in Chautauqua County, I don't know how much more you can get. And one of the things I got to give credit to our team and our news partners with Erie News Now, because we were on that story within minutes of it happening. I got a call from one of my sources, and he said, hey, there's been a terrorist attack at the institution. They're sending everybody. And I'm like, I don't believe you. And that's the source I have. I keep very close to the chest. He's good. He's in the know within the law enforcement community. And he was right. He was not wrong. And we were there with a live feed within probably a half an hour, you know, the travel distance from Jamestown to Chautauqua. And mind you, that day, I don't know if you remember that day very much, Aaron, but there was a plane crash in the town of Harmony overnight. Mm-hmm. So we were already dealing with that. And I was thinking to myself, how do we manage these resources? It's so tough. And so I'm like, well, plane crash story goes on pause for a moment, and we do the best we can, right?
There was multiple plane crashes in Chautauqua and Warren County between the two this in the past year, which, right. I mean, some of them were considered ultralights or superlights, which, right. I mean, they're more gliders than planes. But, I mean, still, when you look at an area that's Class E or D, generally uncontrolled airspace, Really unusual to see this many aerial accidents happening in such a small area. And then you look at all the other interesting stories that have happened beyond that. I mean, we all just survived that winter blizzard that went through. And I know you guys were having all hands on deck to cover that. And
And
I
that was
mean,
one of the things at the end of our year in review. Like we spent some time putting it together, and I'm like, where do we put the blizzard, right? And people, maybe in Jamestown and Warren, they say, well, it wasn't that bad. Well, if you traveled north to northern Chautauqua County, it was Sunset Bay, a lakeshore community known for their beaches and sunshine, was the complete opposite. I mean, there was ice everywhere. It was an ice rink and flooded at that. And it really, really was. And even now, Buffalo is still recovering from that. So I think that's something that even towards the end of the year, Mother Nature really got the last say when it came to 2022 with that storm and the frigid cold temperatures. My one takeaway from that, and this is the most recent, right, just weeks ago, was I was doing a live morning hit on Erie News Now Sunrise, and I was prepared for the cold because I knew it was going to drop. And I also had my rain jacket on because, well, it was pouring rain. So I'm out in the thick of it. It is raining, and it was the coolest experience as a slight weather nerd. I mean, I'm news director here, but I love the weather. I always have. And you could see the rain change to snow, not ice pellets, snow in just a matter of 5 minutes in the air. It was so incredible. And then when I got back inside, I realized my rain jacket, because I was layered up, right? I had a fleece on, I had my WNY News Now winter jacket, and then my WNY News Now rain jacket on top of that. Felt like Frosty the Snowman out there. And it was stuck to my winter jacket. It was frozen solid because it was so drenched. Yeah. It just shows you the power of the storm. And then, later in the day, what we saw sub-zero like temperatures. I mean, it was a tough, tough, tough storm to go through.
The Thursday night into the Friday morning when that storm happened, I actually was traveling from Erie over to Jamestown. And so I saw some of it that night prior, but then getting up, coming into Warren in the morning and, doing the shift there, it was so interesting to be doing the weather reporting that morning during the newscast, because I remember at the start of the 9 o'clock hour, we were over zero, over the teens. We were about 16 degrees, I would say. And I remember when I did the first update, it dropped about 5 degrees. I did another update 10 minutes later, and it had dropped, I think, 5 or 6 more degrees. By the end of the hour, the feels like temperature had reached the, sub teens, which is insane for that to roll in so quickly.
Unprecedented. It really was. It really was. And you look at storms like that. Is this the future? Who knows? But I was talking to my grandfather over Christmas, and he's like, I remember big blizzards in Jamestown where we could walk up and touch the power lines, and he's like, I obviously didn't do that. That didn't, but he remembers that. And who knows? Who knows what the future will hold? But definitely one for the record books. The other thing when thinking about 2022 in my mind is just kind of this sense of normalcy that we got. We last year when we did this, we were talking a lot about the pandemic lifting, and that was one of the things where when I was doing my research for the year in review, early on in the year, we still dealt with a lot of pandemic type things like mask mandates a little bit, and New York, they had this test to stay policy where kids had to test before they came back from winter break to go back to school to make sure they were negative for COVID, albeit the vaccination rates were going up and up. But as the year along of co went along, of course, the masks came off, and we got to return to some very treasured times in our community. I know at the top I mentioned that Lucy Comedy Festival, but there was one story that actually stuck out that came out of Randolph in Cattaraugus County, the Girl Scout camp there, Camp Timbercrest. They were back at 100% full capacity, fishing, riding horses, playing outside, doing their arts and crafts, and we spent a good amount of time with them just kind of going over what it takes to be a Girl Scout and what it means to be back with them. And I thought, and you can watch the story in our year in review, just hearing from the kids, they're 5, 6, 7 years old, the group that we were with, and they're so thrilled so thrilled to be back out and just not have to deal with the precautions that were in place. And I took that away as one of the big stories of the year. Mm-hmm. My team was like, why do you want this in the show, in the year in review show, right? It seems pretty, there's a lot of things like that. Well, I think you look at it as an example of what we had to go through. And now, because we've come this far, we were able to have that celebration of finally being back together again, which we were able to do as a community last year, I think, more than we have been over this pandemic time.
There are several different events that took place they were events that took place before COVID. And then as the COVID restrictions prevented some things from happening, people did get creative to have ways for some of these events to maintain and still continue. But the thing that I found amazing this year was that a lot of those people that found ways to make those events continue, they found out that if they were able to make it happen online or virtually, it actually ended up helping them quite a bit. And so we were seeing a lot of dual events happening this year where they would
the hybrid,
hold, you know, like a virtual and an in-person event. And I thought that that was really cool too, because there are things that came out of that, like, you know, traditionally in Warren, there'd be a Christmas parade. When the COVID started, they started doing a Christmas walk to allow people to more freely have a more open area that they can explore and have things going on with. Well, now it's a Christmas parade and walk. And I really like that that's what they're going with. And really, that's happened through a bunch of different other facets in Warren County, Chautauqua County, this whole area.
And here's an example that stands out on the business side of it. Last year, our local Tim Hortons chain, really popular in Jamestown, and I know Warren as well, they celebrated a big anniversary, 20 years in business. And the interesting stat that came out of this story, which we ran back on April 7th, was that across the nation, there's about one Tim Hortons store per 10,000 people. Here in Jamestown, New York, believe it or not, there's one store for about 4,000 residents. And that number actually has gone down since we ran that story, because they just opened up a first in the nation hybrid store on Washington Street that is just drive through. There is no indoor business. And the owner, Blake Tarano, told us that this model, the drive through only, when COVID happened, they shut down, no inside, only drive through, and many restaurants did takeout. He found that to be actually more efficient for their team. They weren't distracted by customers inside of the restaurant. As much as they love having the atmosphere, and they're obviously bringing that back, he said that it actually turned out to be more popular. And since then, the drive-through business has only exceeded what they saw during the pandemic, where inside they still get, you know, those lunchtime folks, the breakfast clubs, but not quite like it was before. And I think that's an interesting aspect of the life after COVID, because we're, as you mentioned, able to have so many things where you have that hybrid, you can get on board online, people are more able to connect with each other than they ever have before, like places like Zoom. And on the flip side, maybe we change some of our habits because we found that this worked better than it did before.
We have seen it throughout this area where it gives you a little bit of a smaller footprint, which, you know, allows there to be more businesses and things like that close to it because it's taking up less physical space. So,
and a lot of times that could help too with entrepreneurs. We saw a lot of businesses who actually started during the pandemic or right after. A good example, a local owned business is a Hotspot Cafe across the street from our studio on 3rd in Jamestown. And Hector opened during the pandemic, wasn't able to open his dining room, and he just did to go. And to this day, it's still it's quick. It's then you're off to your office or wherever you are downtown or in Jamestown. And I think that's something that people have come to live with. And you look at supporting small businesses. We had that big push where they were shut down and they could only do to go. And a lot of people said, well, every Friday, I did it myself. I'd go out and get some takeout because I wanted to support my small businesses. And I think today that continues, right? I rarely go to an Applebee's anymore because I would rather go to a place that I know is locally owned and operated. And since the pandemic, we've seen a lot of, it was hard. It was hard. We can't say it wasn't, but a lot of people have rebounded and expanded in many cases at that as well. One thing that did come back in full force was a huge tradition here in Jamestown, the Lucille Ball Comedy Festival. They returned to downtown Jamestown, and we pretty much had a reporter on it every day. Went to every show, talked to so many people, and one of the things that I remember taking away from it was not myself, but our reporter Bronson actually went and talked to a group from out of town. They live all across the Northeast. And except for during the pandemic, they still did come to Jamestown, they said, but they didn't like gather in, you know, an event style space. They went and visited the Lucy statue and did some things locally. But they have come here for the last decade, and this has kept their friendship alive because of the comedy and the events happening in Jamestown and things like that. Just to see people pick back up where they left off, I think was so inspiring to me. And you look at a festival like the Comedy Festival, the Lucille Ball Comedy Festival, they had just continue where it was, if not better than what it was before. And that was a big boost, I think, over the summer, especially to some of the businesses in the community, because they were able to sell, you know, whether it's a restaurant, sell to the new customers coming in, or a business in Jamestown sell their products, in the hotel industry as well, all across the board. So that type of, I think, development and really continued tradition, because there was a lot of fear. People were like, what's going to happen, right? How long is this going to last for? And I was happy to see in 2022 that, you know, it's still mindful of the health aspects of it, of course, but we're able to get back to life that was. And in many cases, like the Lucy Comedy Fest and that group of ladies, they felt like it was life better than it was. They had more fun. And ironically, and they had a lot of fun talking to Bronson. I remember watching some of his outtakes. I think they were a little drunk, Aaron, not gonna lie. Because they were very clingy to Bronson. They're like, can we get a, afterwards he left his camera rolling. It's funny, they wanted to take a selfie and this one lady hugs him. I swear, I thought she kissed him. I really did. He's like, I don't want to watch any more of this video. I'm like, oh, but that connection, I think, is something that for a while we lost, and it's good to have that back and to meet with people one-on-one in that section and tell their stories. I'm grateful for that.
Absolutely. You bring a really good point to that. And actually, when you were talking about that, it kind of led me to having a bit of a question that I'm curious to get your opinion on, because with the changes in the pandemic, like we've mentioned, having impacts on people's habits in their eating, it also has impacted their shopping and doing things like that. And, you know, I know during the pandemic, Amazon shopping, online shopping skyrocketed. I mean, the job opportunities that have opened up driving for Amazon across this whole area are massive now. There are job opportunities for all sorts of other positions relating to online shopping. But really, what I'm kind of wondering is, now that we're through 2022 into 2023 and things are opening back up, do you think that we're noticing a little bit of a change in those trends where people are kind of more trying to go back to the mom and pop shops? Or do you think that that habit of online shopping is harder to break than we're hoping?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would think it's probably twofold, in the sense that just for me over the Christmas season, I did about 50-50, believe it or not. There are some things, you know, you have to get online that I got online. And then there are other aspects of it where you go and you shop in a small business. One example of it is there's a boutique in downtown Jamestown set up by the resource center, where they take products that are manufactured by people with disabilities and power them and sell them on a storefront. I did some shopping there. I did some shopping at a couple other local businesses. There's a couple gift cards, you know, where I tried, if I'm going to get somebody a gift card, I try to do that locally. And I guess that all kind of depends on your mindset, right? Like, if you're a local person like myself who wants to try to give back, and people ask why, well, why didn't you just go to Walmart? Well, A, no offense, Walmart, and they don't advertise with me, so I guess I can say this. I don't like Walmart. I dislike the atmosphere and the fact that most of their money leaves the community. But I do like a place like the cafe I was talking about across the street, Hotspot, or the Randolph Retail Company in Randolph, or you look at somebody like EagleZip.com, they're an internet retailer. These places are locally owned. They have somebody who has their kids in the community, they raise them here. Those are, in my opinion, businesses that I think will flourish. And when you look at what consumer trends are going to be, I think a lot of businesses, a good example is right across the street from our newsroom. There's a lot in downtown Jamestown. They offer the to-go and takeout. And you can do a lot of that online through Grubhub. You can tell where my mind is at this hour, Aaron. I'm hungry.
Yeah, that's understandable. But that is completely understandable. Though, you've got a great point.
Yeah, if you're able to adapt and get online, then I think you'll do better than other businesses. And I think we see that even here, you know, with the radio and digital presence like WNY News Now, you know, working together, right?
Yeah.
So many people listen to radio in their car. When they get out of the car, they have to find a way to take that somewhere. Well, guess what? You can stream us anywhere you go now. When you're on the walk, when you're in the house, you can do it on your smart TV, your speaker. And I think that is the present. It's not so much the future. Is people want to have it on multiple platforms. And it's important. And if you're a smart business or entity, then you'll adapt to that and you'll go to where they are. Fortunately, nobody's opening the newspaper anymore. You have to go online, especially in today's world.
You know, in kind of the same sort of way that I was thinking about that, I'm kind of thinking from the opposite end as like businesses in the town, in the community. Yeah. I'm wondering, do you think that people being kind of cooped up in their houses for a little while and, you know, being stuck like that, do you think in this situation, it's kind of also helped empower local people into starting new businesses and ventures that, you know, maybe they wouldn't thought of before? I mean, I can think of a few right off the top of my head that since the pandemic has started, you know, it's been people that have realized that they have really unique skills and abilities that you wouldn't really think. And, you know, maybe they do it as a side hobby or a side business, but we're seeing that expand a little bit. I'm wondering if you've seen the same kind of thing in Jamestown.
Yeah. And you bring up a great point because of the new ways we've been adapting during the COVID pandemic is that can spur. Well, I say you're an accountant, right? And you work for a firm. Well, you maybe moonlight on the side. Who's to say you can't expand that? And guess what? Work from home. You don't have to have a storefront like you used to. Albeit maybe one day you'll want one because there are benefits to that, of course. But having your own operation online does give a lot of opportunities. And I agree. I've seen a lot of good examples. One of them is the house that Jack built. It's a bar in Greenhurst. And the owners there, one of them is a personal friend of my fiance. She left her job in the childcare industry and went and is now working there, co-running it as an owner. And I don't know if the pandemic would have changed that at all. But for some people, when they're cooped up inside and they can't go to work, they say, well, when I go back to work, am I doing something I want to do? And of course, yeah, you got to make sure it feasibly pays your bills. But at the end of the day, I think there's a value in doing something that you want to do because you wake up and you're excited about it and you want to go to work. It's not like, oh, I got to go to work today. Rats. No, you have a drive, a bigger drive than if you were just doing something you didn't want to. So I do agree with you there. I think that's an important point. And even going back to events, like we were talking about the parade with the return of the Jamestown Holiday Parade, which WNY News Now was I'm so grateful to be a co-sponsor of on there. Yeah, we had people from all across the world who were tuning in, not just in Jamestown. And it was kind of a windy day. So the streets were packed. They had great turnout, but there might be people who elect to stay home. And I think that's an important power of television and a digital television. You can watch it on your phone, watch it on your computer, watch it on your Roku streaming device. And even any other streaming device, a lot of times smart TVs, you can just pull up a YouTube feed now, right? It's so easy. And I think that's what makes it. And the other thing too, and I thank you for that, because it was a lot of work to put together the parade. I know the organizer, Patrick Smeraldo, did a lot of the physical, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is the tree lighting time. These are the events. This is what's happening. But on the flip side of it, you know, we really wanted as a news organization, let's tell a story of the Jamestown community. How can we tie that into an end-to-end broadcast and do it live, by the way? It's not easy. And I was just so proud of my team because we did it live and we rolled with the punches. We told the story of the Grand Marshals who really gave back to the community. They're a great family who gives back to foster care every year. And this year they were highlighted. And then the story of a local musical production that was taking place during the holidays. And wow. I think that's what it comes down to is like, if you tell their stories, you win. And that's what people want to hear, right? They want to hear. A lot of times they think of news. Okay, yeah, what's happening? Of course, that's an important aspect of it. But what else is happening beyond just the daily headline, right?
Yeah.
What are things that aren't being highlighted that maybe should be highlighted? And I think that that's an important aspect of it. And rolling with the punches, doing the live, and I loved our position. We were on the street. Mm-hmm. So we had like kids behind us looking in, waving. We did a couple interviews. When it came time to talk to Santa Claus, he had a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction, Aaron. And we were waiting on Santa, and he turns around and is walking the other way. And I'm like, wait, I was told I was going to be interviewing Santa, and we're live, right? Like, what are we to do? I'm like, okay, well, so Patrick Smeraldo, the parade organizer, I'm like, all right, Patrick, let's stick a mic in front of you and talk for a minute. We got to figure out what's happening with Santa Claus. And then afterwards, they're like, oh, he had a little issue with his jacket, and he had to fix himself before he comes in. You got to look presentable, right?
Fair enough.
I totally get it. There's kids everywhere. They're like trying to, you know, get their 5 minutes with him. And it was just so awesome. And
and that's the one thing that I find to be really interesting, that when we talk about internet versus television versus things like that, it really is kind of interesting, because I feel like there is almost a perception, you know, that like TV is like professional. But when you see the grade of like the way you do things, it's like that quality, if not better. And I think that like maybe it's like just the perception that I had in my head growing up.
Right.
With the TV being the main source of it. But like, it's a statement that needs to be made that the content that you are making and producing is equal or greater than what it was. Really, people are lucky that they have that opportunity now, because you guys have made it significantly more accessible than it ever had been before.
And that's the beauty, I think, of the platform. For me, what we do when people ask, what do you do? Right. You know, through our partnership, which I'm so grateful for with Lilly Broadcasting, is like we are TV news reporters. Right. Our stories air on Erie News Now, CBS, NBC weekdays, at least one story a day. And if not more, depending on what the news interest is. Mm-hmm. And so we are that. But the future, which I think Lilly is seeing, is the streaming, where it's not so much what you are, there's no more labels, but rather what you're doing. So we maybe don't have a TV transmitter on top of our building, but we still are television, and we stream and produce that content. And I agree. I think, you know, for what we do with the resources we have, it's very impressive, but it all boils down to, at the end of the day, Aaron, the story. If you have a good story to tell and you're able to use the tools in front of you to tell it, do it. And yeah, sure, there's hiccups. I watch newscasts back and I go, oh, that could have been different, or that could have been different. But I think that's with anything, right? At the end of the day, it's about the story and the people who are using the tools. And I'm so blessed to have a great team of people by my side, yourself included, through our Lilly family partnership, is the fact that we're all caring and we care about the community. And I think that's why we succeed, because in turn, we're grateful and lucky that the community cares about us, right? To support our endeavors, to make it possible. And that's one thing for 2023 I'm excited about, is continuing to grow that, because the sky's the limit, right?
Yeah,
we could produce whatever we wanted to produce.
I love that that's what you mentioned, because actually that's what I was going to bring up next, that I was kind of wondering, you know, with everything that we've just talked about being said, where are your plans for 2023 lying? How are you loading up the chamber for that? How is it looking? What are you thinking are going to be some of the biggest things that you're going to be worrying about coming into 2023?
Yeah, I'm excited to continue to produce our incredible news product. And one of the things that I would like to launch is additional newscasts as well, to bring that storytelling time to our audience more and more frequently, and just continue to focus and commit on local. I want to grow our ability to tell the stories here in Jamestown. And one of the things that we're going to be doing in 23, in addition to just the news, is we're working, we have our Roku channel, Channel 716. We really want to try to help bring brand awareness to that, get people here in the Jamestown community to add that to their lineup. And expand just beyond the news too, right? If people have things that they want on there, for example, we're partnered with a guy Frewsburg, Josh Larson. He has a show called Lead and Lures. He's a hunting expert. His series will be streaming on there. He's partnered with Discovery Plus and some things which he's working on. And this is cuts from programs that he's done, and they're really great. And all right here in Chautauqua County, by the way. Like, he's fishing on Lake Erie, fishing down in Kinzu, hunting out in Warren. You know, there. And I think that it's so that there's these types of things going on that need to have a platform, a voice. And that's one thing that we want to try to do in 2023, is be able to be that avenue for the voice. I tell my reporters, it's like, it's not about us. We just tell the story. You guys are the story. And there's a lot of people that I'm so grateful to be working with who understand that and understand the value of local storytelling, because there's many places across the country where companies are pulling out and saying, no, we're just going to run this feed instead, this national feed. No, we can't do that. We can't let the local journalism die and local storytelling die.
Justin, I'm really glad that people are able to listen to you on our stations during the week with those newscasts and those news updates, because really, it's important, the news that you guys are bringing to people. And one of the things that I need to mention as we get ready to wrap up this recording here is that while we've talked about some of the lighter stories during this broadcast, at the end of the broadcast, like we've been talking about, there have been insane, heavy-hitting stories like what we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast, you know, the attack on Salman Rushdie and some of the other things that have happened here in this community, like the plane crash and, you know, just some of the other things. And whenever those things happen, you guys are on top of it, just like you are when you're talking about some of these other stories that are really interesting. And, you know, I know one thing that we're looking forward to in 2023 is, you know, seeing, finally, hopefully, we're going to see an end to the investigation of the bones that were found over in Chautauqua County from Mercyhurst University. Hopefully, they're going to, you know, be almost done with that, and we can get an update on that. And there's really just a lot to look forward to.
Yeah. And as a news organization, that's the thing we're going to be watching out for and balancing, is the wide array of stories as they come in. I like to say the good, the bad, and the indifferent. You know, as journalists, as storytellers, we want to give everything the same priority. Now, obviously, breaking news, if there's a big fire or something, of course. But when it boils down to it, every story is important for us. And staying on top of it is a priority. And that's something I think people will see in 2023. And I got to thank you and everybody here for the opportunity to provide those stories on air to you weekday mornings. We'll just keep great content coming, because that's what it's all about, is sharing the stories from our community.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.